glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, July the 6th, 2023. I'm your host, Donna Leland. Today we're blessed to have a couple. They're leading an intentional, ongoing effort to keep couples on a trajectory of growth. Brad and Marilyn Rhodes lead a ministry called Grace Marriage. They also author curriculum and speak at conferences. They also work with individual couples. Thanks so much, Marilyn and Brad, for coming on Mark and Friends.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
In all the materials I've read from your ministry, you delineate between a grace-based marriage and a performance-based marriage. Help us to understand the difference between the two.
Well, in a performance-based marriage, love is given and taken away based on how you perceive you're being treated. So if you feel like your spouse is doing really well towards you, you're really kind and nice. But if you feel your spouse isn't giving you much attention or isn't interacting with you right, you give them a consequence or withdraw or go cold. But in a grace-based marriage, you just think, I receive the love of Jesus, just a free gift of grace from him because he chose to love me. And how am I to love my spouse like that? So you just offer kindness and gifts and service. You just offer as a free gift of grace because you just love your spouse. Then the marriage is stable. Of the grace of Jesus Christ, it's not unstable based upon the day-to-day performance and how each person's doing.
I think so many times we've entered into this marriage relationship thinking, this person is going to meet all my needs. They're going to be like my own little personal Jesus, and they're going to keep me emotionally stable. They're going to pave the way for me. What do you think about that, Marilyn? Have you found that to be true in some of the couples that you have been ministering to?
It's absolutely true. I know I did, and we share that when we share part of our testimony in the book, is that is exactly how I came into marriage. And man, it set us up to be on a roller coaster of ups and downs because Brad can't be my personal Jesus and he's not going to be perfect. And none of us would articulate that we really think our spouse should be perfect, but we act that way because when they upset us, we're offended or feel like they're not loving us well. And so about a year in, the Lord really convicted me. I'm your hope, not Brad. And you've made this all about how you feel you need him to love you when it's what I'm calling you to and how I'm calling you to love him in your marriage. And that's, like Brad said, that's going from a performance base to a grace base because our marriage is going to be a picture of the gospel. And what did Christ do in the gospel? He laid down his life for us. And our marriage is going to be a picture of that. So when you get that shift, it can change everything.
Let's talk about your story and how God used that first year in your life to really make that shift. What did it look like?
I wouldn't even say
Marilyn said the first half of the shift was a halt. Yeah, it was a complete and instant U-turn. Marilyn's right. It wasn't for some it might be a shift. For us, I mean, we went from really bad place to the Lord opening our eyes and putting us in a really good place pretty quickly. It was for Marilyn, what she said, she started relying on Christ and not me. I proved quickly not to be very reliable. So the Lord broke me and I just realized I did pretty much whatever I wanted to do. And I didn't lay down my life for Marilyn as Christ did the church. It's basically like, I'm going to work and do this and do this and go to games and join leagues and do all of this. And I didn't lay my life down for her. So when I told Marilyn, look, the only thing that's going to be different is everything. What I told her. I said, we're going to start dating. We're going to start spending time together. I don't expect you to believe me. I wouldn't believe me. But from this point forward, things will be different. And by God's kindness, they were.
Like he was just saying, so we started, we got that, okay, our marriage is not about me getting what I want. It's about our marriage bringing glory to God. So when we got that shift and Brad said those things, intentionality is another part that we share in the book is I think we buy into this idea that marriage should just be easy. It should just, we know we have to work at everything else in life, with work, with parenting, any talents we have, but we think marriage should just be good. And if it's not, there's a problem. And so in order to have a marriage that glorifies God, we have to be intentional. And so we started going on dates regularly. Like Brad said, we tried to step out of that. Okay, once we're married, we can just quit trying. You've got to try. You've got to make space for it, because life takes over. You can't just let life take over and think you'll squeeze marriage in on the side. We have to manage our lives around our marriage. Our relationship with Christ, obviously, is first, but after that, we need to set aside time to help our marriages thrive.
Let's talk about that person who isn't married to a believer, or they are married to a believer, but that person is walking according to the flesh and not in the spirit. What should they do in that moment of just seeking to honor the Lord and yet be in this relationship?
Well, first, I think you've got to make it clear. Don't tolerate infidelity. Don't tolerate abuse. Prioritize protection. Get help. Now, if those aren't involved, abuse or infidelity, one, recognize it's tough. So give yourself some grace and just realize if it's hard because it is. When you feel like you're trying and they're not trying, and you desire a great marriage and they just seem fine with the way it is and have no desire to change, it is tough. So recognize that. But then, just like Marilyn said, just Jesus is enough. And Marilyn, you shared with me that, you know, I became a joyful, happy woman before you ever changed because I realized that Jesus was enough. And she finally wrote, "Praise God, my hope isn't Brad becoming a better guy. He may or may not. But Jesus is there. He always will be there. And he is enough for me." And Marilyn just decided, "I'm just going to receive from Jesus and love Brad and just pray for Brad and give him over to the Lord."
Yes, as huge. Because I was at the time, in that first, when we were first married, I was in graduate school getting a degree towards counseling. And I was thinking, if I don't tell him all these things, he won't know. So I really was letting him know every little thing he was doing that hurt my feelings or how I felt unloved. And it really wasn't getting me anywhere. But when I turned him over to the Lord, it's like it gave space for the Holy Spirit to move instead of me trying to direct it all. It was huge.
Something I'm noticing in the relationships is that, what do you think, Marilyn? Don't you think sometimes women put so much pressure on these guys? I mean, they buy into this thing that they're going to be our everything. And I'm sure that's like a, you know, an emotional boost to them. Like, wow, I'm going to kind of be this woman's God because we kind of put them in that position. But then when the clay feet begin and we begin to see that, wait a minute, they can't meet that deepest need in my heart. I feel like we put so much pressure on them. It makes them angry. And it makes them withdraw sometimes. It could. And they start kind of going, now, wait a minute. What do you think about that?
It accomplished the opposite of what I was hoping it would accomplish. And so Brad and I really both started marriage so wrong. And it led to me feeling like, am I sentenced to a life of this? I'm so lonely. I'm so frustrated. But when we realize, okay, Christ is the perfect lover, and he is the lover of my soul. And when I cling to him and I find my hope there, then I can have joy whether Brad has a good day or a bad day, because we're all going to have good days and bad days. We're going to have trials that come at us where we're not going to be on our A game. And when you get grace, and we've shared with couples before, yes, you still need to talk about things. If there are issues that are a pattern or it's an ongoing behavior, we're not saying you don't communicate about these things. But in the day-to-day, when you extend grace, it's God's kindness that leads to repentance. I'm so much quicker to be repentant and sorry if Brad responds with gentleness. You know, a gentle answer turns away wrath. And so when he responds gently to me, or I respond gently to him, we actually speed along the sanctification process. You just get over things so much quicker when your marriage is under grace and not under performance, I'd say, is one of the biggest changes. Would you agree with that, Brad?
Yes.
You know, I love the grace-based approach, because that's how God deals with us. You know, he doesn't torch us the minute that we do something wrong or say something wrong. And I just feel like to give that to our spouse, you know, what a gift, because we love them and they're not going to change because I beat them up, and we don't change because God beats us up. He doesn't. So So I love that whole attitude about your ministry. Talk a little bit about what you do in your everyday counseling ministry. You've got this whole other aspect as well.
And what we do is we equip the church with an ongoing marriage ministry, because we've really saw in our church and other churches that they do premarital counseling and crisis counseling, but there's no real strategy for the marriage. And we've heard church after church say the only thing we're missing in our marriage ministry is the marriage itself. And the church needs to give guidance and direction on how to help people be married well, not just wait till they drift into crisis and then try to get them out of a ditch. So we equip churches with a proactive wellness approach that's like a discipleship pathway to help church couples in a church thrive in their marriage so they don't ever hit crisis.
Oh, that's our prayer, because we did in our own church. We've been over the marriage ministry for years, and early on we saw we have premarital and we have crisis, but we're missing the marriage. And what's the statistic, Brad, about how many churches don't have a marriage ministry?
Right now, according to Communio Barna study, 72% of churches have no marriage ministry. 80% of churches don't spend one ministry dollar on marriage. Mm. And the scripture says, let marriage be held in honor among all. It's never going to be held in honor among all if it's not even important enough for the church to put any time or money into it. And couples are not going to make a big deal about their own marriages until churches make a big deal about marriage. So what we do is we help churches make healthy marriage part of the DNA of the church. And you come to our church, we're going to shepherd you, disciple you, we're going to help you. We're not just going to like do premarital and just hope it goes well. And most of us don't know what we're doing. Marilyn and I didn't know what we were doing. And nobody told us what to do. So we got married, and unsurprisingly, it was a train wreck. But praise God, somebody intervened, and we want church to intervene.
Now, you write curriculum for churches. Yes. What would be some of the information within that curriculum you could share with us?
There's teaching in the curriculum on pretty much everything: marriage, sex, communication, conflict, everything. So over time, when you're in grace marriage within a church, over time, you're just growing in all of these different areas. And there's 7 years of curriculum. So we provide a church with an ongoing marriage ministry. Because what we've seen, if it's just study-based or if it's conference-based, it'll give the marriage a boost, but then it just quickly drifts back to the previous norm. So everything takes ongoing attention to thrive, and we kind of provide an ongoing pathway to help couples keep navigating and keep growing.
Busy schedules, pressures of life, you know, personal preferences, they all create these discord amongst couples. What are some of the practical ways to alleviate the stressors in order to help the marriage?
Brad and I, we've been doing this how many years now? We meet together every 90 days with our marriage 12, group.
12 years.
And it helps us every quarter we look at our schedules, we look at our life, we come together and we take time we have something that's called an eye exam, where you focus on the good, the love, you write down everything you're grateful for about your spouse. We talk about issues and, hey, are we needing to make changes here? We need it every time. It just helps us stay on the same page and manage life.
And life is always threatening to get out of balance. And Marilyn and I just looked up, you know, recently and said, wow, we've got way too much going on. And too much stress, too much going on. And we're having to navigate it now to prune some things off to give us more balance and time together. Couples have to work together on a consistent basis. Otherwise, life just takes them over and they just end up being this functional coexistence with no real joy or happiness to it. So we help couples manage life so there's plenty of room for key relationship.
Say that again, Brad. It was, what'd you call it?
Functional coexistent relationship. Butler married to a maid, just running around.
Yeah.
Two ships passing in the night. It can be like that. We're in a child-centered culture. And so often the marriage gets completely squeezed out. And another thing we encourage every time we have a grace marriage session is to date. So Brad and I have been going on a date once a week for 26 years. Mm-hmm. And outside our relationship with Christ is the number one best thing we do for our marriage. So we challenge couples to date at least, if they can, every other week. If you have to trade out sitting with friends, if finances are an issue, we did that early in marriage. Just be creative in how you make space for your marriage.
Yeah, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. And we found if you sow generously in marriage, you'll reap a lot more generously.
Hey, give me your if you could, top 10 things to do. Just the person who's listening right now who is struggling their marriage, it's not satisfying. They feel like roommates. You know, give us some pointers, your top ones that you would share with us. And I think the number one is that you just gave is date. And then what would be two?
Well, even I'd probably ahead of date is grace. I think it's like everybody's jacked up at some level. I mean, everybody's struggles. I mean, it's different from everybody, but just put your spouse under grace and just don't, your sin's not held against you. Mm. Don't hold their struggles against them. And that just kind of sets things free. Otherwise, you just live in this contention. So I'd say grace first, and then the dating piece would be second.
Mm. And then gratitude would be third. Focus on the good, the lovely, the praiseworthy, the admirable. Write these things down. So I know sometimes when I'm frustrated with Brad, the best thing I can do is focus on the good things. We just naturally go to what bothers us about our spouse. And fourth, I would say, take your eyes off your spouse. When God convicted my heart, hey, you focus on me. I'm the greatest lover of your soul, and love your husband how I'm calling you to love him, and watch me move. And so if you're really frustrated right now, take space with the Lord and ponder how am I called to love my spouse? And you won't feel so frustrated at the lack of what you feel they're not doing.
I think we have to let go so much of this Disney attitude of, my Prince Charming is going to meet my soul need. He's my, everything, and he's going to regulate my emotions. So I just feel like, As spouses, as women especially, I think we have to let go of this dream, which is a lie, that this other person is going to be my all. And I had to get rid of that early on in my marriage, because it's just such a black hole, and it's a void that begins to build up, and we begin to resent our spouse.
Mm-hmm. And the emotions in dating trick us because we're so into each other and we seem so perfect. So it feels like they're going to do it. And then they do all of it till the day you get married and you just kind of get dropped. And then, because your point is so accurate, the reality is only God can truly satisfy. Now we can enjoy marriage, and marriage is a wonderful thing, but ultimately, we ask from it what it can't give. We just set it up for failure.
And another thing, it's okay to miss a kid's event to do something for your marriage. We had a mentor of ours say, parenting is the modern day black hole. You can never do enough, be enough for our kids. And our culture's created this, but really, we have five kids. We have four daughters. And if I don't love Brad well, I'm not showing them an example.
Yeah, it's the best thing you can do as a parent is love the spouse well. It creates the atmosphere and the security for parenting. And the other thing I would add is cell phone. I mean, cell phone hijacks relational depth. You just bounce back and forth from thing to thing, and you're just shallow and distracted. So try this. Try an hour of time with just you and your spouse, nobody else, with no cell phones whatsoever, and see if it feels awkward.
I guess that's our challenge, is just to right now where we are in whatever state to start saying, I'm going to actively shower love on my spouse. By now, we at least know a few things they like, right? So we can just start in these small little things. It doesn't matter.
So true.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Mark and Friends. Really appreciate you both. And again, the book is The Grace Marriage, How the Gospel and Intentionality Transform by Brad and Marilyn Rose. God bless you both.
Hey, thank you for having us.
All my life I've had to struggle to be free. Though I see no end in sight, I stand in line with men who made a vow to never stop the fight and to trust that you can comprehend. A loss you've never known will take a love that I have searched for. But love I cannot find alone. Lord, teach me to love. Show me how to care for others. Cause my soul to burn within. For the fellowship of my brothers.
injustice that you suffer, and for our nation's shameful sin, I humbly ask for your forgiveness. We need to learn to love again. Lord, teach me to love. Show me how to care for others. Cause my soul to burn within for the fellowship of my brother. Only you can break the chains that have held me for so long. You're my hope, my only hope. Teach me to love. So daily I seek to know the Christ who suffered.
Thanks so much for listening to Mark and Friends, a ministry of Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations. Have a great day.